When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
We're joined by Ed Curry, a top-rated mortgage planner and construction loan specialist with Associated Bank. Ed helps out clients with mortgage financing to purchase, refinance, build, or rehab their home. Ed, good to have you here.
Good morning, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Let's start off with the basics, kind of what I call a temperature check of home prices in the Chicago market. Things have cooled a bit in Chicago and actually all around the country. What a ride we have had. I looked at the Case-Shiller index right before we did this interview. The index rose 18.6% annually in June, up from a 16.8% increase in May. That's a blockbuster. Can it keep going?
Yeah, it really has been amazing. Starting to still see a little bit of tempered demand this fall, I think, with more of a true back-to-school event this year versus last year, where there really wasn't that event. But, I certainly do think it can keep increasing in values. And there's certainly chatter, people calling for, the next housing bubble to burst. From where I sit, I just don't see that. The combination of high demand, low inventory, I think will continue to have prices continue to move higher. I don't think they're going to move as quickly and as briskly as they have over the past year. Chicago has done well, but not as well as other parts of the country. I saw a number out of Boise up 44% year
wow.
over year, up 30% in Phoenix year over year. I think we'll see some of those areas that have gone very, very quickly higher reset a little bit. But I think for the most part, the United States is going to be relatively stable and stable higher. The idea that the demand of millennials, younger millennials buying their first home, older millennials buying their second home, all of that will lead to higher demand, and inventory still remains at historically lows. And with some of the challenges that builders have had with supply chain events, it's been difficult for builders to keep up with the demand
sure.
in housing.
Yeah, you mentioned this combination of strong demand and low supply. Focusing on the low supply here, and you mentioned millennials coming into market, maybe buying their first home. I have heard anecdotally from friends, family, etc., they put in multiple bids for homes, or if they're trying to buy a business, etc., kind of a lot of heartbreak here. They just don't get the deal.
It is. It's been challenging, and that's where we do a lot of construction lending, and that's where a lot of clients have kind of thrown in the towel on looking for that existing home and buying one that's not ideal and fixing it up, or just building a brand new one.
I think some of the softening in the housing market probably has to do with concerns about interest rates and what the Fed may be doing down the road, starting to rein in monetary policy, etc. If they do begin to taper bond purchases, that will result in higher interest rates. Do you think people are worried about that now? It hasn't really happened yet.
It really hasn't. And generally, over the years, in terms of clients being concerned of higher interest rates, I've definitely, mostly have disregarded that. I think for the most part, people think about when purchasing a home, will I have a job tomorrow? Will I be making more money next year than this year? And will I be able to afford it? I think ultimately, rates do oscillate up and down, and they realize they can always refinance at lower rates at some point, hopefully, if rates were to fall. So I think ultimately it boils down to those factors. The tapering is simply the Federal Reserve purchasing less stuff.
Right,
right now they're
right.
purchasing $80 billion in U.S. Treasuries and $40 billion in mortgage-backed securities, $120 billion total, a massive amount. So the concern is as the Fed lays out a plan to buy less each month, that one large buyer exiting the market will cause rates to move higher. That is certainly possible, and I would probably think 9 out of 10 people would forecast for rates moving higher. But there's always that chance that the old buy the rumor, sell the fact scenario, where the taper really has been built into the market.
Exactly.
And once they do announce that, we actually could see rates move down a little bit temporarily.
What you said a moment ago struck me because it leads into our next topic. You talked about homeowners, prospective buyers being concerned about the future, about employment, COVID-19, interest rates. And I wanted to talk to you about home equity loans, because I read an article before we did this interview about how their popularity is really waning. And I'm wondering why that is, because you've got home values up, you've got owner equity up. And I have some data here that I thought was interesting. A firm called Black Knight says nationally homeowners had 23% more tappable equity in March than the year before. Now, granted, that's an older number, but still, it shows that home values up, owner equity up. Why wouldn't people be taking more home equity loans?
That's a great question, and I was thinking about this as well earlier, and I think it could be three or four different reasons. First, because the equity in people's homes have increased so quickly and so much, more people have been tapping into more traditional first mortgage programs and pulling cash out those. Now, those traditionally you can only tap into maybe 80% of your home equity, whereas a home equity line of credit could be 90 or 95, some cases 100% of home equity. But those first mortgage rates are lower than the home equity rates. So I think people are seeing that they've got so much home equity that they don't need to take a home equity line of credit. Mm. They can simply do it through a first mortgage. And in many cases, prior to the last 12 months here, it's a good chance that a first mortgage rate they had was actually higher than the cash out rate that they would take. So they were really getting two benefits. They were able to lower their overall rate and take cash out at a lower interest rate than the home equity lines of credit would be. Another possible impact as well is there was a change in the tax code, and certainly, you know, check with your accountant on tax deductibility, but for the most part, home equity lines of credit are no longer tax deductible, whereas
that's huge.
The tax change.
Yes.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, it was no questions asked. You could generally write off up to $100,000 of home equity. And one other thing I think that's really come about over the last couple of years with automated underwriting engines and everything is unsecured loans have become so easy to get and online in minutes. So I think a lot of people thinking about going through a home equity mortgage process and getting an appraisal done and submitting documents and all that, I think some people have just said, you know, I'll pay a higher interest rate.
Too much work.
Get this loan in the next 5 minutes. Exactly. The simplicity over cost.
Well, one example of that would be a loan against taxable retirement investments. And when I read that, I get a little bit worried. I'm a financial planner, and
right.
You know, I tell people that I talk to that your retirement investments are sacrosanct. Is it a good idea to take out a loan against your retirement investments?
Yeah, I think that's really one of the last options you should take a look at. I think for the most part, the clients who I see do that when facilitating the mortgage process is they view that as a really short-term bridge. They need the funds for a new home before the old home sells, so they'll use that as a bridge, and it'll be a temporary type of aspect. But for the most part, yeah, I would agree. That's one of the last things you want to take a look at.
Gotcha. Let's move on to the last topic here, and it's a biggie. COVID-19 homeowner protections are expiring. Some of them have expired already. I'm talking about, you know, forbearance programs like that. And a lot of it's going to happen at the beginning of the new year. Are we looking at a cliff that will really affect the housing market?
I don't think so. I think the people have come out of forbearance. Of course, many people who entered forbearance still made their payments on a regular basis. They entered it just as a fail-safe, a stopgap in case they needed to put a pause on paying their mortgages. So I think for the most part, you've seen so many people come out of forbearance. I think also the lack of additional unemployment insurance and all of a lot of those programs are falling off. We're seeing indications people are moving back to employment, so that'll help them make their mortgage payment. Most importantly, one of the things I think that mortgage companies, lenders have learned over the past year with the huge success of the forbearance program is it makes sense for lenders to have a lot of options to assist people in making their payment or putting those payments off for a period of time. The last thing a lender or a mortgage company wants to do is take back a home. You know, banks make money on lending money at a higher interest rate than they're paying on their deposits.
Right.
You know, once they have to get involved with the process of trying to take back a home because of lack of payments, it really is the last thing you want to do because there's so much money involved in that process, and it's a lose-lose for everybody in that situation.
Ed, time flies. How can people get a hold of you for a one-on-one?
Yeah, feel free to shoot me an email. Email is ed.currie@associatedbank.com. That's ed.currie@associatedbank.com.
Great. Ed, good to talk to you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Steve.